Honey, I blew up the business.
Returning to the podcast is Olivia Siboney, or Liv Siboney. She is a trailblazing ethical business for good, tech for good champion. She's a previous podcast guest as well and ongoing collaborator with me subsequent to that first podcast. So this is part of the point of what I'm trying to do with season two, is to bring people in who I'm actually not just quotes good guests or high profile, but people I'm actually working with, people I'm trying to build my business with, people I'm going to share what it's really like. And Liv, at the end of this interview, said that we had good energy. And that's what I'm trying to do. Focus on real challenges. And there's some challenges she's facing and I'm facing that we navigate and discuss and get into on this conversation. But to look at it with a positive worldview, to say, okay, there's some challenges here, but how can we tippy-toe through? So hopefully you'll get some good energy from this conversation. The concept I really liked in here was that optimism is a choice. She calls it a moral choice. How to navigate uncertainty. You can have optimism and choose to have that. But how when there's all these challenges? Well, in this, we'll find out. I'm Dan Kirby. I'm your host of Honey, I Blow Up the Business, because back in 2017, that's what I did. I blew up my business in a bad way, but we turned it around. Now it's doing better than ever. So I'm talking to people like Liv and working with people like Liv to help me build out what I hope to be an ambitious, very abundant future. I'm sharing that with you so you can learn from my mistakes and the mistakes of my guests and how we tippy-toe through this difficult world of entrepreneurship, because my mission is to help you and other entrepreneurs, our tribe, my tribe, so we can go and do some good in the world and actually talk about things as they really are, not some kind of fake social media BS that we all see every day out there. And I just want to say, if you like that, help me. Help my mission, share it with your friends, give us a 5-star review, all that good stuff. And don't forget to big up my company, The Tech Department, the company that we turned around and is now graciously sponsoring this podcast. So without further ado, let's get into it with Liv. In 3, 2, 1, welcome back to the podcast. Liv Siboney returns.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
Liv was, well, she's been on the podcast before, as I've just said, and you should really check out the podcast because it's a real fantastic exploration of her origin story from her grandfather's inspiration and through to various sort of ebbs and flows of her entrepreneurial career into where she is now a leader in business as a force for good. And the reason I invited Liv back onto the podcast is because subsequent to our first conversation, we've become somewhat collaborative partners, I would say. And she has been instrumental in nudging, encouraging, directing my business into focusing more on tech for good or business as a force for good, or working with what you would call impact startups or social purpose startups. That's what we're doing now. We're focused on that. And we weren't about a year ago, but we are now because of our ongoing collaboration. She perhaps built on some of our instinct and our values and sort of said, hey, listen, what you're doing could really help here. And now we've got to a point where our hearts and our heads are aligned much better than they've ever been. And we're nearly 20 years old as a business. And so we're looking at the next 20 years with this renewed sense of purpose. So I wanted to kick off by saying thank you, Liv, for helping me find my renewed sense of purpose for the next 20 years.
Oh, well, you know what? That makes me so happy, because that is just the most important thing for me, that I feel people who are really amazing have so much opportunity to amplify that amazingness onto the world. So I'm thrilled that that helped focus what you already knew, but sort of helped bring it out and put it into action. So,
and action is what it's all about. We all want to take this, make some change and take positive action. And my intention for this podcast was almost as a sort of live riffing session for Liv and I to perhaps further delve into our mission to do good in the world and the mission to take action and encourage action in others, and that alignment of the heart and the head as sort of purpose and profit, so that perhaps you can learn from that and hear from what we're actually literally up to right now, because we're all still muddling along like normal. We're all still running our companies. So to kick off, I'm going to ask you a very simple question, Liv. Where are you right now?
Where am I physically?
No, where are you in your journey?
Oh, am I in my journey?
No, your entrepreneurial moment in time. Where are you right now?
So I am at an exciting crossroads, having exited my earlier startup Seed Tribe, which got acquired by Angel Investment Network. The reason that was exciting, that happened a couple of months ago, is because it was a niche platform focusing on connecting impactful entrepreneurs with angel investors. It now got acquired into a mainstream platform. So the idea is that we're trying to not make impact niche, that we're trying to make it mainstream. So that is exactly what is happening with that acquisition, which I'm really excited about. And so that has freed up time for me to ramp up my side business side project that I've been working on, and now working on a lot more, called Impact Amplified. And rather than a large platform that uses algorithms to matchmake people, it goes the other way. We go really sort of deep and talking about sort of hearts and minds. It's really around, how do we bring people together who really care about using businesses as a force for good, to make that happen? There are so many people in this world who are working in any kind of mainstream kind of business, and are lacking that sense of purpose and really feel like they want to have a more positive impact on the world. And so those people who really, really care but feel a bit stuck, unheard, lonely, overwhelmed, stuck with reduced budgets and too many priorities, but really, really care, just bring these people together and give them tools to work together, to support each other, and to be able to really tangibly keep moving forward to take action. Because we all have the ability to take action. We all have the duty to take responsibility and have a sense of agency for the world that we'd like to see around us. It is up to every one of us to do that. But it's sometimes a bit scary or overwhelming or disempowering to be in the world at the moment. And that is not how it should be. There are so many people who care. Let's bring them together to make that change happen. So I'm really excited to be part of a much more sort of deep journey with, in, you know, purpose-driven people in business to help them make that change.
So you're in a transitional phase, I guess, yet again. I mean, in fact, the first conversation, we talked about your various transitional phases. And so you've gone, since we last spoke, into the business has been acquired and or brought into a bigger angel network, which I perhaps arguably a sign of progress for the sector that you've been representing. And that's given you then an opportunity to deep dive, and you've got, but it's a new thing and you're moving into this new space. And at a time when you sort of intimated, well, there's lots of stuff going on and people are perhaps fearful and overwhelmed by, well, you know, take your pick of things to be fearful and overwhelmed by. There's quite a lot of that. So sitting in the middle of that now, because you're in this sort of transition, you're observing these things where things are difficult or perceived to be difficult out there. What's your kind of, how's that influencing you?
It's really interesting. I think that it is a constant journey. I mean, I loved how you introduced the beginning of this session in terms of our riffing on our journey and exploration, and that's really a little metaphor for how it just constantly is, isn't it? It is constantly an ever-changing journey, and actually I've learned to be excited and or comfortable, at least, to be in that liminal space, in that space of just in between, of, because that's actually where a lot of the magic happens and where the change happens. And it's, if you in that space of transition, in that liminal space, if you can embrace that and be open to innovation, testing things and just trying to see what works, that's actually the space where most of the magic can happen, versus a time when you're more embedded into something that sort of just feels the norm. In a way, it's more comfortable and maybe have more ability to scale, but it's also means that one maybe closes one's eyes a little bit more because you're just a little bit more comfortable. So I'm quite enjoying that middle space, and it feels like a really exciting time for exploration. And if this time in the world is anything to go by, this is actually the perfect time when there is opportunity and the need for change. So it's not comfortable, but it's also that discomfort is also what makes it quite exciting.
Could you give us an example of that, the discomfort and the opportunity, where that's presented itself to you?
So I suppose the discomfort is in, it's sometimes hard to really pinpoint exactly what we're doing and for whom in a really, really precise way. You know, at a really macro level, I know that Ad Impact Amplified or anything, any of the work I do anywhere is around driving businesses for good. And I understand it could partly be about the business model itself. It can also be about the process, the way in which you run your business. Are you being good to your employees, to your supply chain? Are you being as carbon effective as you possibly can be? So there's the kind of output, but there are also the processes. So at a sort of macro level, that's what I want to help people to do. And I also know that for me, it's not around the business being, you know, the force for good itself. Essentially, it's really about the individuals within it who are the catalysts for change. And how do we help those individuals within the business be those people who can help that transformation? Now, the application of that can take so many different forms. And there's so much trial and error in terms of how you combine people. You know, do you bring people? Where do you balance that diversity of people and minds versus bringing some common interest or challenge together? And how does that intersection play? And so much of it is such a subtle question of curating the right people, holding space in the right way, giving them that right balance of knowing that they're in a safe space, making them feel like they're in a safe space, giving them that sense of ability to sort of explore and test and innovate, while also not being so big and overwhelming that you don't get to an action at the end. I feel really, really strongly that we need to steal your wonderful terms, Dan, have a North Star that we can work towards. And I think that's really, really important. And then once you have that North Star, which is absolutely critical, what is that one next step you need to do? And, you know, as long as you know that you're going in the right direction, just never keep taking that step again and again and again. But sometimes it is actually quite hard to really figure out what that next step is and for whom. And so it requires a lot of trial and error in how we hold space for people.
So this is the truth probably for everybody, like trialing and erroring and trying to navigate towards an end goal or a future state, I've been calling a North Star. But so in effect, you are in that process now for yourself. So yeah. You have a business called Impact Amplified, which has come out, which was a side project that was bubbling in the background whilst you were leading Seed Tribe. Seed Tribe gets acquired. The side hustle looks like it could become the main hustle, and it's broader and deeper, perhaps. But you've got a problem, because your problem is big ambition, big vision, big goals, system wide, lots of culture change, all fantastic and aspirational and great. And then it's like, okay, well, how does that rubber hit the road? What form does it take? So that's happening at the same time as all this kerfuffle in the world and post-pandemic and Ukraine and God knows what else, what's bubbling around. So you've got this situation where it's like lots of stuff in flux, which creates opportunity, but it also creates which bit of information is signal, which bit is noise, what's going to, it's sort of overwhelming. So you're literally going through this experimentation phase at the moment. And how does that feel?
It actually depends on the day. Sometimes it feels really exciting. Sometimes it feels quite overwhelming. And sometimes everything all at once. It's really interesting, isn't it? I increasingly realize that we're not just one single being. We're so many multiple strands of types of emotions and thoughts and feelings all in one go. And you can feel all of these different, you know, emotions and ideas all at the same time, sometimes aligned, sometimes conflicting. So I'm interested in noticing how many different things I feel and think or in one go. And I'm interested to see whether there's something to learn from that complexity of being to help people sort of realize that it's okay to be, you know, it's okay to be a bit confused sometimes and to not be, you know, to just not know exactly, you know, it's okay to be uncomfortable and to just be able to sit with it rather than kind of chase it away and think that everything just needs to be really kind of easy. Because I think it's that slight discomfort actually that is what leads us to action. And it can be a really good motivator as well. So I'm weirdly enjoying that discomfort. But it does mean there's quite a lot of adrenaline going that sometimes needs releasing.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there's two things in there I think is really interesting. One is sitting in discomfort, which is something you don't want to do. I often reference this guy, a guy called Gabor Mate, who was being interviewed on the a podcast. But he was saying that the pandemic gave everybody a great opportunity to sort of sit with themselves because they couldn't travel around. But what everyone was doing is feeling this unease or discomfort about what the future might be or whatever, but then distracting themselves with Twitter or Netflix or, I don't know, video games. And actually what you should try and do is just sit with that feeling and get used to that feeling, you say, the liminal space of moving around, of not knowing quite what where it's going to go. And the other thing which is interesting, your multiplicity of response, all right? So you've had this feeling or these feelings and you've got different things spiking in you, different ways of responding. And actually you're observing that. And I'm going to just dwell on this a little bit because I think this is a real thing for anybody, any human being, but particularly for entrepreneurs where you, I interviewed in just recently a guy called Jeff Thompson, who's a BAFTA winning screenwriter and written 50 books. And he's a Black Belt magazine said he was the most influential martial artist since Bruce Lee.
Wow.
Right. So Jeff is a bit of a, what you would call spiritual mentor. Now he's taken his martial arts and the outside world and applied that to the inside world. So this is the bit that's important for you as an entrepreneur listening to learn from. And because this is what I'm learning from, is we all have different forces within us. As Jeff said on the podcast, on a Friday, you want to go to the gym. On Monday, you don't want to go anymore. So why is that? Right? Surely if you've made a decision, you just go and do it, don't you? You know, it's just, you're in charge, aren't you? But actually, there's all these different sort of energies within you that sort of rise and fall at any time. And his point about the most difficult martial art is the battle within. Not the battle without. And that actually is the work, frankly, I have found, is if you can get on top of all that stuff, you're living in that uncertain space is actually far easier because you're sort of all these different competing energies within you aren't quite doing your head in quite as much.
I love it. That's awesome. That's exactly it. I think it's Thich Nhat Hanh who said that, you know, the way out is in. We can't, you know, we are just a multiplicity of perspectives. So let's just sit with that and not try and escape it, but just deep dive in.
Exactly. That. So you're in the middle of it then. You're in the thick of it. You're back out of your established angel platform that's working with impact startups. You've got rid of that and now you're in this world of flux. And so what's the kind of, where do you want to go with that? We've got a feel of where you are right now, how that feels, how that kind of, some of the challenges perhaps within that, which we can perhaps come back to. But where do you want to go?
Really where I want to go is I just, you know, it made me so happy to inadvertently help you in our last conversation to sort of focus, you know, where you wanted to go with things. And I don't ever want to make someone do what they don't want to do, but it's such a wonderful, I was so lost in my career for so long. I worked in so many different industries, including, you know, sort of ranging from charities and then public sector, and then Goldman Sachs and BP, and then in chefing. And mainly I was really miserable. And it was so, and my sort of, I always really wanted to do something positive through work and just kept failing. And it really, really just, I was just generally a really unhappy person for a long time until I came to set up Seed Tribe. And that just gave me this real sense of just focus and purpose. And it made me just so much happier, so much more focused and challenging as it was, and as it always is running a, you know, any kind of business. It really just gave me this sort of inner fire and power and drive that I am so grateful for, and I never want to lose again. And I suppose, you know, like anyone who sort of come through challenging times and managed to come out on the other side and know how difficult it feels on the tough side and how amazing it feels on the other side, the greatest thing I could possibly do is to help other people realize that every single one of us has the ability to really make a genuine change, and we don't have to sort of watch the news and feel disempowered. So my real sort of what is going on for me is just, how can I help individual people who really, really care to feel that they can actually make that difference? And the more we can do that, and I use the word, and I look at it from a business lens, because in my mind, that is the quickest way that we can affect genuine change. So of course, every single one of us wears multiple hats, talking of, you know, multitudes again, you know, we are each some kind of family person, we are each an, you know, a work person, we are a citizen who can vote and take action in our community, we are a consumer who can vote with our money. You know, we have so many different ways in which we can apply, you know, our power as an individual. But I focus particularly on people using their business hats, because I think through business is where systemic change can really happen at scale. So really, it's just, the more I can help individuals feel like they actually have, every single person has the power to do that, the happier I can be that we're all just going in the right direction.
Well, there's a thing to aspire to for us all, to find a sense of purpose and happiness and depth in our work. And as you said, you went in the you were in the desert for many years, struggling around, not quite finding the thing. And then you found your thing, which is helping people make positive change in the world and inspiring that. And I think there's a thing where what you did for me, actually, was you didn't really, you sort of just encouraged an aspect of what we do. Or encourage me to see an aspect of what we do, or perhaps what we do, through the lens of purpose or impact or trying to make a positive change in the world, which I've never really seen before, even though the ethics and the values of the business have always been trying to do good, you know, and look after people. And a lot of our team have been with us for over 10 years because we really look after people. But it was kind of it was less even a nudge than a sort of opening up of a portal that I didn't know was already there. And I think that was something that I think a lot of people, you know, you're muddling along with your day job and you just, you know, you're always worried about the bloody cash flow or something. So there's something practical to worry about, but perhaps there's some depth that you can find within your own company. It's not some sort of thing you have to find really out somewhere and off in the distance. It's very much within you. I'm going to switch up now, because there was a quote I saw and I thought of you, and it just comes back to what you said here about kind of optimism and the ability to make change and this whole sort of the industrial fear complex of the media that's around, that's making everyone scared every day. But there's a guy called Peter Diamandis, who I follow, who founded the X Prize, which then became SpaceX. He was a co-founder of Singularity University. Anyway, I'm on his newsletter. It's worth subscribing to it. But he quoted recently talking about the future, saying that he sort of references Peter Thiel, the guy who founded PayPal, who says, he famously asks in an interview, he asks you a question, what important truth do you believe that very few people agree with you on? That's the question Peter Thiel asks. Now, Peter Diamandis then says, well, he says, quote, despite all the dystopian news media, concerns about climate change, rising inflation and deadly pandemics, his emphasis, I believe that today is by far the single best time in all of human history to be alive. right? And he said he's data-driven optimism, and you can agree or disagree with him, but go and check out his blog about that. And I just wanted to sort of put that on the table, because oftentimes with there's a narrative that goes out there that we're all doomed, it's the end of the world, everything's going to hell in a handbasket, wherever that's come from. And that very much tweaks us all as individual humans, but also as entrepreneurs, about fear of the economy or fear of this or that or the other. This idea of optimism and action and making change on an individual level, which you touched on, could you just speak on that in terms of that frame? Do you agree with Peter Diamandis, or do you think he's onto something?
Yeah, I mean, you phrased it as, do I agree or do I think he's onto something? So you definitely agree with him. Yeah. I also definitely agree, definitely. The amazing Christiana Figueres, who helped lead the Paris agreements for climate change and has a fabulous podcast called Outrage and Optimism, framed optimism in a really wonderful way. And she said, optimism is not an innate, paraphrasing, but essentially optimism is not a sort of an innate feeling. It is a moral choice. And I think that, I really agree with that. I think optimism can be a really proactive choice that we make and perspective that we can choose to have on the world, rather than a sort of passive, naive sort of thought. And I think that sense of the choice that we make and the action-oriented element of it is really important to me. And because actually you can look at the world in so many different ways. I mean, I sort of, during lockdown, and we were all in our sort of, we were all away from all of the people that we usually spent so much time with. And it was really interesting because I just lost myself in the world of work in a really wonderful way. I just was so involved in, lots of voluntary work as well, but all around sort of that, usual business as a force for good. And I came out of the pandemic feeling really quite optimistic and empowered and positive, because I literally only spoke to people who spent their entire lives trying to, turn problems, challenges into solutions. So for me, it's like every single time there was a problem, the people I spoke to were excited about making a business to turn that into an opportunity. And I was really I was so sad to see that when things opened up and I started speaking to friends that I hadn't spoken to in a while, and the people around me, and just kind of had been so naive in understanding what it was like for them, and everyone else had sort of just stayed at home and just watched the news. And we're just glued to the news, and everybody was suddenly so unbelievably disempowered and pessimistic. And I just thought, wow, we live in the same world. We're from the same kind of, we've been friends for years, just not in sort of close enough touch to sort of discuss, the state of the world until we physically met up. And actually, how did our worlds completely diverge so much? And that's because of just, it just so happened that I surrounded myself with people who were sort of really action-based and just didn't look at the news. So I am hugely optimistic, and I think it's a frame that everyone could choose to apply. But I like to think of optimism as something that is active rather than a kind of naive and passive approach.
Yeah, and that's great. I think it's a mindset. You're hanging around with people who set their mind in a way that, okay, yeah, there's challenges, but there's a chink in the armor over there. I could see it. And very much that's Peter Diamandis again. He was very influential to me, because he said that mindset's more important than money. And I can't remember the exact quote now, but basically it's your most important asset. Mm. Because how you see the world is the way the world presents to you. All right. And so you said, your peers or friends that you hadn't been speaking to, you didn't live in the same world as them. The world they lived in was full of scarcity and full of problems and fear. And what the world you were living with maybe were some problems, but there were some opportunities for that. So what you're describing is you had a tribe that shared a mindset that saw the world in a very particular way. And that was true. as was the other way of seeing it for these other people. It's just you choose to focus on certain elements.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think what was important for me coming out of that was to realize that while I felt unbelievably lucky and privileged to have the tribe I'd sort of created, you know, I met more people than I ever have in lockdown just because the magic of LinkedIn and Zoom just made me super, super connected, even though most people I sort of only ever knew in 2D, obviously. But what I realized was that it was also really important to come out of my bubble and to make sure that we include more and more people into that space. Now, of course, you need to want to look at things that way, but you know, I'm not going to force anyone to convert, as it were, but I really want to widen that perspective and opportunity to a much bigger set of people, because everyone is, you know, could see things that way if they, you know, the more people realize that that is an option, the more people might feel they can come into that tribe and make the change as well.
Yeah, it is a tribe. It's a worldview I hold, and I think probably is why we get on. And actually, for what it's worth, in the going back to the theme of this podcast, when my business blew up, it was all a big pile of poo, and there was a diamond in the middle of the poo. And what so else? I wasn't digging my way through a lot of shit. There was a diamond, which became the sort of method that we run in my business, which is the thing you picked up on. And that's I knew that was a really good thing. And I just knew at the time when it was all really, you know, arguably more sensible to just bankrupt the company because of the amount of pain and unlikelihood of it succeeding at that moment. But I thought, nah, this is really the thing I found here is worth going to bat for. And it was so interesting because it was like if I focused on that, And not to the exclusion of the bad stuff. Obviously, there's lots of stuff that needed to be handled, but it was like a kind of counterintuitive play. It was like, yeah, okay, all this is crap. That needs handling. But there's this thing here that actually could be a transformative thing. And it's true, this insight. And so I'm going to pursue it. And really, it's taken like 5 years for that actually to really, really get the traction. Coming back to your point about rapid experimentation. It took us 5 years for the insight I discovered when the business blew up. That was the reason I pursued turning the business around. It took 5 years of constant experimentation in a liminal space of only resting on my belief, and frankly, the belief of my business partner and peers within my business. Yeah, so it's a lot of like flux. But the point is optimism is a moral choice. That optimism was a choice. There was a thin sliver on the horizon, but it was there. And I could focus on that and pursue that.
I love that. That's amazing. And it shows that it's not always the easy choice, is it? It's sometimes you really, really need to keep, you know, making yourself believe and just force everything else out. But it is, I'm so happy you didn't give up. That's really amazing. Well done.
Well, thank you. And I'm quite proud of myself, actually, for what it's worth. I do sometimes try and remind myself and acknowledge that kind of stuff, because it's sometimes easy to brush over. But that was a distinct choice, and it was the very much narrower path, I've got to tell you. But I actually thought at the time, fuck it. If we're going to lose everything, I might as well lose everything whilst pursuing the thing that's really, really interesting and good and true, not selling out. And then lose everything. Do you know what I mean? So there was a bit of a ethical stand from my point of view, or moral stand, perhaps. So we've sketched out, you're in this state of flux. The world's in a state of flux. You're going through this process I have been through of the rapid experimentation to find how you take your vision, the intention, the sort of ideas for this, and actually get the traction on that. And where you want to go is you've got this sort of real deep sense of reward that comes from nudging people, getting people, encouraging them, inspiring them into the sort of area you're passionate about, where business can be doing good. So how are you going to get there? I mean, how are you going to get that? What's your thoughts on that?
Actually, so I don't know. I'm open to ideas. Certainly, the things that I know I really want to, by the way, I say I, it's my amazing business partner, Layla, and I, and she's just such an amazing, I mean, inspiration and partner in crime. So I really shouldn't be saying I. She's incredible. But what we both believe is that actually the power, you know, one really, really important belief is the power of collaboration. And collaboration over competition is something that we really firmly believe in. And that sort of stands true of everything that we do, the way that she and I collaborate, but which obviously goes without saying, but actually the way in which we hold space. So it's always around group work and bringing people, diverse groups of people who would not ordinarily meet, but who have a shared belief, challenge, desire that brings them together. And how do you use that power of the diversity to come together over that sort of shared challenge? So that collaboration in the way that we run the workshops, the programs, but also broader collaboration. So none of us can do everything alone, and we need different people at different times. And I think it was, what's interesting is the, you know, collaboration can take so many different forms. It could literally be just a one-off brainstorm with someone to come up with something, or it could be, you know, trialing a, you know, a project or something more long-term. So there are so many different flavors of collaboration. Mm. But I think they're really, really valuable. And I think there's no need to over-engineer anything. But actually the best thing to do is, again, just try something with someone and then see where that goes. So I love the conversation that you and I are having around seeing where we can be, you know, we feel that we can support entrepreneurs in their growth journeys in different ways. And there are many other people who also need to be part of that journey to support, you know, these purpose-driven leaders. And so how can we look to collaborate and bring in other collaborators so that it's like, it doesn't have to be one set rigid structure. It can be, you know, how do you really, I guess, how do you manage all of these different strings so that you're pulling the right ones in the right way at the right time? And that sense of sort of, you know, the analogy of mycelium and that interconnection of different threads so that everything feeds into everything else in the right way at the right time. But you can do that by, you know, if you imagine how to kind of feed, you know, plants in your garden, partly you're just like, let's try adding a little bit of that. Does that work? A bit more of that. Oh no, that was a little bit too much. You know, tone that down, bring that one up. Mm-hmm. So trial and error of collaboration, I think, is the way that we really want to grow it so that it is sort of flexible and adaptable and always, and I guess adaptable, actually. I think in a world of growing uncertainties, how can we all navigate uncertainties in order to thrive? And that requires being open and nimble and yet focused on that still North Star.
So there's a number of themes we keep on returning back to: the uncertainty, the journey, the direction of travel, the fact you're going to be bumped and scraped on the path is just the way it is. And you're living that now, as I am living that now. We're all living that now in our various different methods. And if you like what Liv is saying, by the way, and perhaps some of the things I'm saying, I think the world view is what we're talking about here. There's a view of the world or a mindset or a way of seeing things, which is optimistic, this action-oriented, this belief in power or the inner fire, as you described. You're trying to kind of do the thing and channel that. And we talked about this actually in our first conversation, this idea of a positive sum mindset rather than a negative sum mindset. This is a thing I've got into a while back. But positive sum is me plus Liv equals 10, not 2. But it's actually a multiplication of stuff. Right. So and that's where I think someone like Peter Diamandis is interesting, because he talks a lot about exponential technologies, but also there's exponential ways of thinking, those worldviews, frames of thinking, mindsets. You can literally see or not see things if you work on that. And that's, I think, a really important point. Now, if you like all of that, I would encourage you to reach out to me and reach out to Liv and or whoever you fancy, which one, you know, you prefer to speak to, and actually connect with us, because this whole tribe we're talking about, the tribe of people sharing a worldview, entrepreneurs trying to make change, positive change in the world to do good at some form of scale, is really the tribe I'm in and the tribe Liv is in. So I would really encourage you to get in touch, because as you were saying, we can't all working together is much better than not. So, that's my rant over with. Get in touch. Do you agree, Liv?
Yes, please. That would be amazing. Any inspiration this brings, any ideas, anything you want to test out, we'd love to chat, because, yeah, we're in it together. And the more inspired minds that come together, the more opportunity for new ideas that can come up for change.
So it's an exciting time, lots of flux, lots of change. 2023 is all beginning to sort of, we're in March 2023 right at this current time. It's unfolding this year, it's lots of exciting stuff. And with this podcast as well, I'm trying to do my business is doing, I believe, good in the world, and helping others do good in the world, which is part of the thing. And this podcast is part of that. And actually, the sort of ethic that within the podcast of trying to help others learn from things I've got wrong or and to learn from stories that of very accomplished people like yourself, Liv, who are sharing that you, whilst you've been around the block a few times and sold a couple of companies and had all this sort of incredible accomplishments, that still the substance of the day-to-day is still uncertain, fearful, wrestling with yourself. And I can attest that that's what I wrestle with every day too. So if you're listening into this and you're maybe starting out on your journey as an entrepreneur, don't worry, it never gets any better. part of our ongoing joyful nature. I love what I do, but yeah, it does have its challenges. Where can people find out more about you, Liv, and what you're up to at the moment?
The easiest is probably reach out to me on LinkedIn, Olivia Sibini, or you could look up my website, impactamplified.co.uk.
Impactamplified.co.uk and Olivia Sibini on LinkedIn. Check her out. As always, an inspirational conversation, hashing it up. And I'm actually, as you're talking, got some ideas, Liv.
Oh, brilliant.
Hooray. I've got some ideas, and we shall continue. So thank you for listening into our ongoing collaborative conversation. And if you like what's being said, do reach out. And I think it's been, again, a beautiful, open-hearted conversation with an incredible, ambitious and exciting person, that's you, who I personally always get some sort of fantastic inspiration from, and always a great chat. So thanks for coming back to the podcast, Liv.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to speak to you.
I'll see everybody next time. Are you an impact startup founder? Are you looking to do good in the world? And do you want a team to build your tech product? But importantly, do you want that tech product to actually do what you want it to do based on the vision you've got? Then maybe, just maybe, my company, The Tech Department, could be a good fit. And as a founder of a startup, particularly in the early stages, every penny you invest is critical. It's adding value. It's creating improvement to your business. So our difference is we focus first on improvement. And that mindset shift is unique. And we turn that mindset shift into a method, which we called the Tech Bootcamp. And it works really great. We get great feedback from all of our startup clients. And when you've got your business profitable and you want to build your in-house team, then we can help you with that too and hand over in a way that's not weird and we're not hanging onto the code or anything stupid like that. So if you like that idea, check us out at www.thetechdept.com. TheTechDept, The Tech Department, thetechdept.com. The worst name to pronounce as a domain name on a podcast. Check it out.